Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I have with me my producer and husband, Michael Gamblin. And I thought, you know, let's talk about managing our time, managing our learning time specifically. So I've had to come up with all kinds of strategies for managing the learning time in my classroom specifically. And my classroom, I would look at as a well-run, hopefully a well-run homeschooling family, because
yes, we know that the attention span of a child can vary greatly, and who can sit still and how long they can. So let's start off with this managing. Give us a sort of a rundown on what your school day sort of consists of.
Okay.
And such as the time frames, how long you do it, how do you keep the attention also while you're in that period?
Yeah, because I have one first grader. I have four third graders, I have three fifth graders, and one eighth grader. So the challenge is, how do you manage the time so that every child is making the best of their learning time? And I think this would be a typical homeschooling family where you could easily have a first grader, a third grader, a fifth grader, and an eighth grader. And yes, I'm talking to that typical homeschooling family where they have the grades spread out over a wide range of developmental levels. Your first grader, wah! Okay, so managing the learning time. It's always nice to have a starting time. Even if you can do it in your pajamas, you need that starting time, and it needs to be set in stone. We start school at a certain time. And then you look at the tasks that need to be accomplished. So yeah, you're looking at each individual curriculum. The things that you can combine, you combine. For example, social studies. You can combine a lot with social studies because you're looking at maybe map skills, people, neighborhoods. You know, usually in the first grade, start with your family, you know, house plans, where things are in the house, safety. And so those things can be combined. Science can be combined. Great fun things that you can do a lot with hands-on science that you can simplify it for your first grader, but yet you can require a higher degree of proficiency from your eighth grader. You can go on trips and you can go on field trips together. Those things really help with social studies and science. But what do you do with one child that can read and the other child that can't read? So this is my idea. You develop a reading rotation. And yes, as a homeschooling mom, that is a lot of work. In general, homeschooling mothers and fathers are not just sitting at home sleeping in while their kids are doing the schoolwork. They're figuring these kinds of things out. So reading rotation might look something like this. You would have your first grader doing a skills-based thing like writing their alphabet. Then they do that every day. They write their alphabet every day. And while they're doing their alphabet, then you're doing another task with your other children, reading. You have to have at least 10 minutes of reading where the child's reading with you and you're reading with them. And you can, I would say, if you have a good reader in the fifth grade, by the fifth grade, you might be able to do eighth and fifth, their reading together. In other words, their trade book that they're reading. Let's say they're reading something like Sarah Noble, or Anne of Green Gables, something like that. They could do that together. But then the work would be equal to whatever grade they're in. And so that reading rotation, you'd have every student in your family spending some time reading out loud to you?
Do you give equal time to every subject that you do, or is it better certain subjects have lesser or greater times as you go through your day?
Well, I give a block of time for math, and I give a block of time for reading language arts. And when I say reading rotation, they might be reading with me for 10 minutes, but then they get to go to another place, you know, maybe lay on the couch or go underneath the dining room table. So they have an area that they rotate to, and they do specific things in that area.
So what are we talking? 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes per subject, or does each one of those vary as well too?
Well, reading or language arts, I would say, probably could have as much as an hour and a half altogether. But if they're doing 10 minutes reading their story to you, and then they're under the dining room table doing 10 minutes of working on the vocabulary that goes with that story, and that's also the spelling words, and then they go upstairs and they read to themselves the story again for another 10 minutes, and then they come over to the couch and they work on the workbook pages that go with that story, you can easily see how, and include cursive handwriting in the language arts too. So then they have some portion or something that they do with cursive handwriting in a different spot. So you do this reading rotation, and yeah, each kid's attention span then is they only have to really focus for about 10 minutes, and then they go focus someplace else. But the whole block of time took about an hour, and that keeps them engaged. It has incorporated movement into your day, so the child isn't just sitting at the table working all the time.
Well, do you have to do every subject every day, or is it best to break it up and maybe do one type of subject all day? What's the thought behind that?
Well, you could have a math emphasis day or a language arts emphasis day, but I think it's important to touch bases with a subject because you will recognize how the brain works. It takes in knowledge, and then it needs some time to assimilate that knowledge for it to become its own. It's almost like filling a sponge with water, and it gets just so full of water, and then you squeeze the sponge and out comes the water, and then the sponge is ready for some more water.
So working on math all day long could be too much.
It most certainly could be, unless you were pretty creative in doing it. I mean, if you said, okay, we're going to have a math emphasis day, so you're going to be 10 minutes here doing this, and then you'll be 10 minutes over here doing that. It's all mathematically related, but it's something different. And then 10 minutes over here and 10 minutes over there, and then we're going to all come together and do something as a group and then start the rotation again with a lot of movement built into it. Because we know just taking a simple walk after, really, I always call it wrapping my brain around it. After taking a simple walk, after having really concentrated on something, what I was trying to learn stays in my brain better if I do some kind of physical activity. So we've gotten through math and reading. Make sure that you have regularly scheduled recesses and use timers. Timers really help motivate students. If you just lay a task in front of them and say, you do this till you get this done, that can be overwhelming. But if you put a timer by a child and say, I want to see how much you can get done in 10 minutes, you will be surprised.
There it is. It's different motivation.
It's just a total different look at how to do it. And this is the thing with a parent that's homeschooling. They tend to teach the way they were taught. Because, I mean, let's face it, they haven't gone to school for years and years like a teacher has to try to learn different ways of motivating students. It just is, it's a total different paradigm. We used to teach, stood up in front of the kids and expected them to hang on every word we said. And if we had a great presentation, then we assumed they had learned the stuff. But it's not the case. It's absolutely not the case. Kids learn when they are involved in the learning. So get your kids to actually do the teaching. Have part of the day, part of the requirement of the day is they're presenting or giving back what they've learned.
They say one of the best ways to learn something is to try to teach it to somebody else.
Yes, and once I help a child, I'll say, now you go help so-and-so with this same problem, because then you'll have it. It will be yours. And it is.
Very true. And I've seen that in my own case many times. You try to teach somebody else how to do it.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. And we've essentially gotten through the morning, because it's always good to do the biggest challenges when you're fresh, you've had breakfast, a good night's rest, and then do the more creative things in the afternoon. We'll be right back.
Poppy, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Don't. No.
Poppy, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, let me see.
This clap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion. Or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162.
Well, welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're talking about managing your time and your students' time as you go through the class day. Now, you left us off with the morning part. Now, how does the afternoon, how does it go from there now?
Yes, and probably the biggest thing I hear from homeschooling families is, well, traditional school's a waste of time because we can get all our work done in just a few hours in the morning. Well, that may be true. And some kids just, you know, you put the work in front of them and they want to get it done and they just love doing it.
Yeah, but how much are they retaining of it if they just plow through it so fastly?
Well, they might be retaining a lot of it. I'm not going to really judge that, but I'll tell you, not all of us learn that way. The students who, what we call our self-teaching, we say, oh, they're perfect homeschooling students because they practically teach themselves. And of course, as teachers, we'll say, oh, they're great students too because they practically teach themselves. But that's not the majority. The other students really do need this structure with movement and music built in and fun. They need fun. And so those things take a little bit more time. You cannot just plow through the workbook and have fun. You need to cut that workbook up and tape the different questions all over the house and make them go on a scavenger hunt and find them and answer them. They will learn a lot more. That type of student will learn a lot more than if you made them sit down and fill out the workbook. So it takes a little bit more time, but the dividends are high because they really have learned it. And then when it's their turn, you know, you tell them, you think up some creative way that we can do this. Here we have this, you know, we have this syllabus that we're filling out or all these pages on in this math textbook. you tell me some fun ways we can do it. And also, I like to challenge students and say, look, if you can prove to me that you know how to do this in 10 problems, then you don't have to do 20 problems. You know, you've got it mastered in 10. Why would I make them do all 20 problems if they haven't mastered in 10?
But they say repetition is what you need.
Yeah, well, maybe some students only need 10 problems, and that was enough repetition. And so don't, you know, insist upon that. It really, it becomes, it's like gagging for some students. It's just, it chokes them. You give them so much busy work, so much stuff they already know, that it just chokes. It just stifles.
Well, they get frustrated too, don't they?
Yeah, it stifles learning.
Because I can't get it all done in the time that they want me to get it done, but yeah, I still know how to do it. But
and I always tell students, you know, I don't like them to use the word bored. I don't want them to say I'm bored, because I say only boring people are bored. But the truth be told, if you give a student 20 problems and they already know how to do it by the fifth problem, it's boring, it's tedious, and you have just wasted a lot of time that they could be learning another concept that they didn't know. So I like the challenge of saying to a student, you prove to me you know this. As soon as you know how to do this, I'm going to give you an A on this, and we're moving on to the next. And that in itself is just a great strategy, and it's a great use of time. And then the more what we call softer subjects, you know, those are core curriculum, the math and reading and writing. But the softer ones that are still so important, like art, social studies, science, music, those need to be managed into the day just as the core subject. And big mistake that a homeschooling family will say is, okay, you have to get this done. You have to get this math all done before you can do this fun thing. We think we're motivating students, but I'm telling you that there's better ways of motivating than to say you have to do all this before you can do that. There are better and more creative ways of helping students. And mind you, there's some of that. You know, there's some of that discipline. We have to get this done. That's kind of a challenge before we can do this. There's some of that, but you don't want to overuse that, because it really stifles creativity. It stifles the love of learning. And don't you think the most important thing that we can do for our children is to encourage curiosity and make them just, you know, they can hardly wait. That's why I often say, don't give them the workbook. If you're using workbooks, don't give it to them. Just give them one page at a time. Because it makes them curious. Well, what, you know, what are we going to do next? What are we going to have next? I mean, I manage my time by giving my students four pages of basic math and four pages of basic reading every week. And that allows me to make sure that all my bases are being covered. But in addition to that, we do a lot of games, just building skills. And right now I'm having them prepare for a game that we're calling Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? Because my third graders are learning multiplication and they're doing really well. And my fifth graders, who are supposed to already know their multiplication tables, really need to have a refresher course. So we're preparing for a little friendly competition called Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader?
As we've been talking here, a question came to mind. How flexible can you be with these times? You've got it scheduled for an hour for this particular subject or not, and you're going to do the rotation and all that kind of stuff. But let's say it's going good. Do you have to stop at that hour? Or if it's going poorly, can you cut it short? How flexible can you be in these times?
Well, and that's the beauty of homeschooling, because you can be as flexible as you want to be. Absolutely. And if I always say, if it's not working, stop it and go on to something else. You know, if a child's gotten a mental block about long division, which seems to be where mental blocks really do happen, go on to something else and then come, you know, circle back at a different time. I'd say that an ideal schedule would go something like this, especially if you had a wide spread of grades. The lowers, 1 through 4 or K through 4, and the uppers, 5 through 8 or 5 through 12. So we're going to call them that. So I'd start the morning with worship, maybe song service, have worship teams so that it's not the same student, not the same child every day leading, but have the students lead. And then 45 minutes, one group's in the dining room, and you are giving your attention to another group. And then do a recess or something like, you know, some kind of break, and then flip. And the dining room is where they're doing independent work, and you're doing active learning with the other group. So independent work can be things like writing your alphabet, doing your handwriting, even math, doing your practice problems, writing your essay, the independent work. So the active learning where you're involved, then you flip the groups. And then from there, do your reading rotation. I already talked about that earlier in the show, where they have so many minutes in one space where they're working on vocabulary, another space they're reading orally to you, another space they're reading independently, another space they're working on the language arts component as far as English grammar, et cetera, et cetera. And the rotation, moving throughout the house or out into the yard, depending on the climate. And then by the afternoon, you should be able to, as a homeschooling family, have the flexibility of, we go on a field trip, we meet with our homeschool association, or we do music, or we go roller skating. And so you have you get a system going, and the kids become so well managed in the system. I know that we talked about, you know, can you be flexible? Yes, you can be flexible, but if you have a very nice, succinct routine going on in the morning, you will find that that the students, your children, will become very self-managing and self-teaching. And then the ones that you need to spend extra time with, you have the time to spend with them. Anyway, that's my thoughts today on managing your learning time. And I just have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.